Okay.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Katie's getting coffee in my kitchen.
All right. We ready to do this?
We're ready.
Hey guys, welcome to Shaylee and Katie the podcast, coming to you on a Tuesday night. We've got our coffees, we've got our blueberries, and we are ready to answer some questions, and I'm so pumped because
I'm ready.
I threw that question out there today.
Yeah.
Hey, Q&A, respond or whatever. And then I got real nervous and I hit refresh
like
a couple times.
When you're like, should I just delete the picture?
And I was like, maybe I should just delete it. And then all of a sudden, a flood of questions came in and I was so excited. And they're good questions.
It was so much fun. We read every single one. We didn't respond to all of them, but we've copied and pasted them in a Google Doc.
Because we're going to respond to them
tonight.
Audio style. First of all, it's flattering that people even want to know what we think about these things.
It's kind of
hilarious. Because more like when they ask a question, I'd be like, good question.
That's
what
a
do you
good
think?
Question. I know. Some of them I thought, we're not qualified to answer this.
But my theory is people just kind of like to hear
different,
some chatter about it.
Different opinions. I mean? Different
then,
takes.
Yeah, exactly. And then, but before we get into our first Q&A, we of course have an amazing sponsor. I do not know what the sponsor is. Shaylee, you said you knew? I don't know.
Yeah.
What is it? Are you surprising me this time?
It's fake eyelashes.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Who has fake eyelashes?
I don't know, but yours are looking extra good this week.
What? I've been taking a lot of vitamins.
I feel like they're looking like a little like extra long.
Natural.
Curly on the outside. Like about 4 times thicker. It just looks like you're a new woman.
Thanks.
I want to cut your eyelashes off and put them on my face.
That's not weird to me.
I feel like that's how fake eyelashes started, right? A woman was like,
oh my gosh, maybe.
I want to cut those off and glue them to my face. And then someone was like, wait, before you do that, we can make synthetic ones.
All right. That's awesome. Backstory, you know how they say the number of hairs on your head are as numerous as the stars and there's no way you'd ever be able to count them all?
Yes.
Well, the number on my eyelashes is 10.
Was 10.
I was not gifted with your beautiful natural eyelashes, your non-mascara, gorgeous, glowing eyelashes
you've got over there. I've got 15.
No, you've got some going on. I don't have any bottom eyelashes. It's an issue.
Okay, so she really doesn't.
I'm saying.
I've never noticed that.
I just put some eyeliner on there. They're blonde, and I'm not.
She has them. They're just very, very short.
But if someone were to say, like, here's $200 every month, and you have to spend it on something super dumb, I would probably spend it on, like, eyelash extensions.
Oh, pedicures. I would get my feet pedicured.
Oh, yeah. I'd do eyelashes over pedicures any day. I didn't even know it was a thing. Now that I know it's a thing, I'm really jealous of it.
So they're expensive, right?
They're so expensive. So being the cheapy McGee, and for the record, listeners, if you think that I'm a DIY type, I'm absolutely not. I'm just so frugal that I do it myself out of spite. So I watched some videos on DIY eyelash extensions. And
really?
I thought,
where do you purchase?
Sally Beauty Supply.
So technically, Sally Beauty Supply is our sponsor.
Whenever you're ready, Sally.
Sally. Don't call us. We'll call you.
Wait, no, call us.
Sally. No, call us.
Sally. Sally, call us.
Send us all the eyelashes. I want them on my face.
I can tell you. Just anywhere.
That was the first tag.
Anyway, we'll say it again.
Call us, Sally. Send us all the eyelashes. I want them on my face.
I thought the sponsor was...
fake eyelashes.
Was DIY eyelash extensions.
DIY eyelash extensions!
I want them all over my face.
I want them all over my face. Get on my face.
Okay. I will say the process involves glue in your eyelids. So
that sounds safe.
I'd say DIY eyelashes.
You've got
extensions.
Two.
DIY eyelash extensions. What could go wrong? Supposedly I can sleep in them.
Really? So how many days are they supposed to last?
Like a week. You just redo them every Sunday or something. I'm just going to pick a day of the week.
How much are they?
Like nothing. I just went and bought them.
No, they cost
like
money.
$5.
I was like, did you steal them?
I did steal them. They're free.
We're sponsor potential sponsors. We're a real good deal. Just like $5 eyelashes is all we charge.
Yeah, exactly.
I want them. Okay, so I wore eyelashes. I want those. I don't want other ones. I want those.
Okay.
I wore them in my friend Ashley's wedding, and her bridesmaid put them on for me because she is like a hairstylist. And apparently that also comes with eyelash
abilities.
And I'm a delicate flower, and I'm sensitive, and one of mine like half started coming off, and she kept trying to push it back on, but then my like eyeballs started watering, and then it was like watering off my like wedding makeup, and it turned into like this big thing. But then I will say, everyone commented in all of the pictures, which I'm not like a super like formal type dresser, like I just don't get like schnazzed up too much. And everyone was like, you look so pretty. And the only thing I could think of is it was the eyelashes.
They make a big difference.
It was the eyelashes. Everyone just thought I was looking so fancy, and I think it was the eyelashes.
Yeah.
Thanks, fake eyelashes.
Thanks, fake eyelashes.
Thanks, DIY fake eyelashes from Sally's that are only $5.
They're the individual lashes.
Yeah. You put them on one lash at a time?
They're like little flares.
So now how many? So you had 10, and now how many?
I'm at least 50.
How long did it take?
Like 10 minutes. I'm pretty good at stuff like that. I think it's my graphic design background. We had to, like, do 2 years of, like, tiny detail with X-Acto knife, so I kind of got my,
Did you use an X-Acto knife?
Yeah. That's what could go wrong?
What could go wrong?
No, ew, that actually kind of makes me grossed up.
Don't do that, viewers. Okay, so Katie told me that I say viewers one time per episode.
At least.
That was my time, because that was not intentional.
Well, if you did see our post on Instagram and then come to the...
You viewed a picture.
You viewed a picture and then you listened to the podcast.
They're viewers. They're viewing.
I think you're just going to find out, like, years from now that wasn't a video. We did.
Wait. Why did I get all... Why do I have these fake eyelashes on?
Okay. Thanks. Whatever. Okay. So now we're going to get into Q&A.
Q&A.
And Shaylee, I vote you just read them at random and we'll just...
So we're not even grouping them by topic.
I don't think so. I think we just sprinkle it.
Okay.
And if we don't get to them all now, we'll do it again.
This one is from DKelly778. How do you decide where and how to travel, and how do you budget for it? We'll kind of do like an easy, light one.
Mm. We probably have very different answers.
Will you answer one? I'll answer. I'll do an international location. And you do... You could do international location, too.
Ibn Français.
Italy? Where's your big trip? We'll do international for fun, because that's a harder one.
We went to Spain. A year ago.
Darn it.
Because our friends lived there.
Yeah.
And so what Jared and I do is we, and if this is like anti your Dave Ramsey plans or whatever, then ignore it. But like what we do is we get a travel point credit card, but we pay it off every single month, and then we collect the travel points, and then we, by the time they add up.
I second that notion.
Yeah. It usually pays for at least one plane ticket.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that takes 4 years, but you know, it's kind of nice because you're not really thinking about it until suddenly you have it. And
yeah.
You're like, ooh. We can go.
Or so, I've had, yeah. Michelle did, like, signed up for a credit card that gave you a whole bunch of free miles at the beginning.
Right,
yeah. And then she had enough in, like, 4 months.
Right, yeah.
Or if you just spend a lot of money, you'll have it in, like, a month.
Yeah, I don't know.
You can finish. I'm sorry.
I don't know if I could have done that. so we would not have gone to Spain if we hadn't had free housing once we got there and mm-hmm. then had a free ticket. I mean, you're paying for it, kind of.
So you're answering how you decide where to go, and then how do you budget for it. So that's good.
Well, that was kind of the situation lended itself. We wouldn't have just picked that in this season because we have young kids,
right.
And it's not very practical to, like, spend all that money on international travel, although it was wonderful, and I don't regret it. And a little tangent is we got to go to, like, England and France together, and when we were there, we'd like meet these tour bus retired people,
uh-huh.
and they'd be like, oh, it's so great that you're going while you're young, like,
because
mm-hmm. we're tired.
And we're, I was gonna say, you said when they go, oh, where? And I was like, tired.
Yeah. And so, I don't know, I do think, like, yes, of course, you could save that money, and it would fuel into your retirement and all that stuff, too, but at the same time, too, like, we don't know how many years we got on this earth.
Right. You don't want to be like, what's the word I'm looking for? Reckless with
right.
it.
It's probably a balance.
However, if you, like, go crazy and you have, like, $1.5 million in your bank account by the time you're 50 and, like, your house is paid off and you've never left your town that you're in or made any memories with your kids, and then, like, you go out on a walk and have a heart attack and die, like, that sucks. Like, you never did anything, you know? So I think there's, like, a happy median for, like, being responsible about it.
Right.
Like, a responsible travel.
We wouldn't go every year.
But I also know anytime we've budgeted or kind of, like, ooh, like, we can kind of put this money aside and maybe, like, go on a trip, but, like, we could use it for other things, but, like, we're not sure, and I've gone on the trip, we've never regretted it.
I know. There's never a moment where you're, like, you wish we hadn't gone.
You can make it happen. It's like having a kid. You can never afford it. It's kind of the same way.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, you can make yourself afford it. You're choosing to do that over other things, I guess, is what I'm saying. So I don't want a brand new, really expensive SUV. I'd rather go on an international trip.
Yeah.
And have, like,
a SUV. How did you choose the countries you went to?
Most of them have been for work. We went to New Zealand and Switzerland and then all the surrounding countries for fun.
How'd you pick those?
Well, I'm quite the Lord of the Ring fan.
Oh, okay, cool.
Lord of the Rings. I said the name wrong, so everyone's like, oh, yeah, you are. Lord of the Rings, and so that's kind of, and it's one place. We had frequent flyer miles from a business credit card, actually. So we kind of cheated the system because we would buy plane tickets for clients and then get reimbursed.
Oh, yeah.
And so we'd
rack up. No, you're not the only people doing that.
Yeah. So that makes you get miles a lot faster. But also from traveling, you get frequent flyer miles. So anyway, we had enough to go somewhere, and we wanted to go to, like, Thailand or somewhere, but you can only use your frequent flyer miles to certain places. So New Zealand was one of them. And it takes, like, 16 hours to get there, but it was the best place ever. It's my favorite place. Go to New Zealand. If anyone's thinking about it, go.
Go.
Everyone's nice. It's like a small town country. Like, the whole country is, like, a small town feel.
Oh, cool. Mm,
it's really
and
sweet.
Then I would just say little, like, what do you call not international?
National? Domestic?
Domestic. Mm-hmm. There it is.
The non-international
I travel? Am a huge fan of road trips. I grew up doing road trips, and I just love it. I love it. I feel like in our DVR society where you could just fast forward and instant, mm-hmm. it's so good to
100%
be like,
agree.
20 hours from now, we're going to be at vacation and you have to entertain yourself in the car this whole while.
Yeah.
And you bond with your siblings and you have to, like, I don't know. I just remember elaborate, like, I'd write down stories or I don't even know. Like, you get
play
creative
games.
When you're,
I will say, too, a lot of what we've done is when we went to New Zealand just to stick on one trip. We flew into the north of the North Island and then drove all the way to the south.
Oh, cool.
And then, so, like, we didn't drive through the islands. We flew from the...
Right.
But we drove to the bottom of the north and then flew to the top of the south and then drove all the way down. And that was, like, some of our best memories. We're just, like, driving 7 hours in a day and, like,
different.
Seeing random stuff and stopping and...
Yeah.
Whatever.
And, like, with kids, and you can weigh in. I've never flown with my kids, but I am so much more patient if a kid's throwing a tantrum in my closed vehicle.
Yeah.
Than in a plane with strangers.
And you're sweating because
you're
thinking about
other people.
I would rather
have 20 hours of privacy and stopping for a bathroom than 3 hours of strangers giving me an anxiety attack. So,
yeah. And the other aisle going, wow.
Wow.
I agree.
Too soon.
I hope that lady listens to this.
I'm sure
she feels
she will.
Terrible.
I'm sure she will.
But budgeting, I use Airbnb a lot.
Yeah, Airbnb.
And it's awesome. And then I just make, like, a spreadsheet. And sometimes I look up self-drive tours that they charge all in a big old chunk.
Yeah.
And then I just look at the itinerary of it. And then I decide which places I do and don't want to go to. And then I, like, do my own self-drive tour and just rent the car.
Yeah.
Like rent the places to stay. Budget the food.
Very smart.
Yeah.
Budget, too, on domestic road trips. We make it a habit of if we have any friends that live in different states, we literally go see them. So my dad has traveled a lot. He's a project manager. He builds hospitals. So every 3 years he's in a different state. So when he was in El Paso, we went to El Paso. Did we want to go to El Paso? No, but
yeah,
sure enough, you go to El Paso and there's cool stuff. Same with Phoenix. My brother was in Phoenix for a couple years, so we went to Phoenix. My parents were in Ohio, so we went to Ohio
Woo-hoo!
On spring break, and we were like joking about
spring break 2012.
We made a hashtag. It was, I think it was 2012.
Really?
Made a hashtag.
I follow
like,
you.
Spring break Ohio, and it was snowing. but it's one of those things. Like, would we have ever plotted going
Ohio.
To the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? No, but we were in Ohio, and you're going. What is there to do in Ohio?
World's biggest ball of yarn.
Exactly.
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
And I love stuff like that because then you get to see like all of the actual country you live in.
No, that's awesome. I love that.
So if
that's
you live
one.
In a state, I will come see you.
We will show up at your door.
But you do have to give me your mattress.
We're going to call it the pop-up podcast, and we just show up outside your door.
Yeah.
You just give us lodging and food, and we record from your house. We can pay for food. Uh-uh. No.
No, no, no. Okay.
You just have to be well-stocked with LaCroix. Last one, and then I'll move along. Stay in an Airbnb with a kitchen, and then you don't have to eat out every single meal, too. Or you can, like, eat breakfast in.
Woohoo! Love it.
Okay.
Moving along.
Okay, this next question is from...
Just spell it if you can't pronounce it.
I cannot. IGOTAMBERD.
Huh. Grimmerbird.
Our Grimmerbird. It's how do you balance taking amazing pictures of an event or party or life while still participating and being involved? Hashtag struggle.
Struggle.
I understand.
Yeah, that's a good question.
That is a good one.
It's funny because I'm a wedding photographer, so like when I'm at a wedding, I obviously don't have to participate in the event. So I'm just in full wedding mode. But I noticed like if I go to a baby shower the day after a wedding, I'm like still kind of in that mindset. And
right.
I'm like, ooh.
Capture that moment.
Yeah.
I'm oh, like, wait, I'm enjoying the moment.
Put the phone down because even if I don't bring my big camera, I'm still like weirdly documenting with my iPhone.
Yeah.
My big thing is I'm all for taking pictures, but don't post the pictures while you're there.
Oh, yeah. Because
later you can
That's like going
through,
to a concert and buying the t-shirt and then like putting it on over your clothes at the same concert.
Yeah.
And which if you do that, it's totally cool.
I used to do that.
Well.
What's wrong with that? Newfound glory.
I'm just saying it's kind of like, cool it, dude. Cool it. Enjoy the event. Post after.
I would have like a foam finger with the band's name on it and they'd be like, we don't even sell those.
yeah,
so
screen printing in your
master the artist or the art of the later gram no matter where you are. And then here's my little challenge. It's kind of like a minimalist challenge. Mm-hmm. Is there one photo that can represent that entire event for you?
Mm-hmm.
Because chances are you probably don't need 30 photos of every single event you've ever been to later.
Yeah.
or 100
and neither
or
do the people who follow you or are friends with you probably.
True. So decide what's the most important detail or what the person, you know, I don't know, if your sister's there and you don't see her very often, make sure you get a picture with her or something like that, but tone it down.
Which her question is more about taking the pictures, I think, than posting it. So like, how do you enjoy in the moment?
That's what I'm saying. So don't feel like you need to
you can get a picture and then move along. That's true. That's totally good.
You can take a photo. I don't know. My dream, like when I'm on a vacation, I try to get one photo with me in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, I was there too. But I don't try to get a photo of me and the kids at every meal and every tourist.
Especially in the same pose. Like the three people, like kids standing in the exact same order with like the mom and all the smiles are exactly the same. It's just like the background's flipping.
Yeah.
It's like you could just cut that out in Photoshop and just like plop it and then denzo.
Yeah.
Right.
So
that's
event.
Good.
I would go for the prettiest detail or the person there that you don't see or, you know, whatever's making it most significant to you. But your challenge would be, how can I capture this event in one photo?
Mm-hmm.
And if it takes 10 tries, that's fine. But keep your phone away because you're going to miss the party.
Yeah.
You're going to miss it.
I think, too, taking candid photos,
mm-hmm.
like if you're wanting to, like, capture something that's memorable, you're going to see, like, Mount Rushmore or whatever, mm-hmm. you're at the beach, and you want to remember it. I think that you could take pictures, like, candid photos of your kids without being like, kids,
oh,
smile,
yeah.
smile, guys, no, look at me, Brian, look at me, one smile for mommy, you know? And it's like, now you've ruined your kid's castle because they're, like, trying to, like, smile while they're at the beach. So it's like, take a couple pictures of them playing and doing their thing, not looking at the camera, just enjoying, like, life, which is more documenting what's actually happening anyway, which is the memory you're trying to capture.
Right. And not the
And then moving
memory.
Along. Yeah. And then you snapped a couple ones. You didn't bother anyone. Like the kids didn't know. So it was less of a everyone.
And I would
hold.
Say that applies to husbands too. Like true story, I used to think I needed a photo of me and Jared at every date.
No, that's so stressful.
And so I mean I'd just be like, yay, look here or whatever. I don't even know. And he'd be like, but like now if we're at the, I don't even know, fish hatchery, we just went in Britain.
Oh, I was like, random one.
We just went in, and you know, he's helping my daughter feed a fish. They don't even know I took a picture. Did I take one? It's great. The light was good.
Mm-hmm.
That's done. Fish hatchery. Documented.
Documented.
We don't need options. We really don't.
Yeah. That's really good. Okay, I think one more tip to throw onto the end of that one, which I've tried to be better about, is there's only so many, like, I see my friends a lot. I see my family a lot. I'm with my daughter all the time. So I think at some point, I think a good healthy balance is there are events, like, are there events in your life that you go to attend and you don't take a picture while you're there?
Yeah.
So, like, I think of girls group. Right. I think of, like, sometimes I, like, get lunch with a friend. And, like, sometimes we're at a super cute place and I'm like, oh, I want to take a picture of all friends getting lunch and everyone's in cute little outfits and there's pretty art on the wall. But other times, it's like I'll go through something that's cute and everyone's looking cute and all their little babies are there. And, like, I don't take a photo. And sometimes I'm thinking of it because I'm like, ah, shoot, I didn't get a photo. But right. then I realize, like, hey, you know what? That was probably, like, a good, healthy thing that sometimes I go to events. Yeah, and it happened and I enjoyed it and I was intentional about the conversations. And, like, I don't need to post anything about it today right. because it still has validity and it still happened. And that's what the event was about more than posting.
Love that.
So I think the ratio. Like, if you physically can't do it, that's when it's like, maybe you have a problem.
I would
the
say...
The first step is admitting that you have
a problem. Just to throw another example. My 30th birthday party, I had a bonfire at my new house. And I spent time, like, hanging bunting from my front porch. And, like, stringing up twinkly lights. And I had, like, a really pretty table with, like, flowers picked. And so I kind of, like, decorated it, like, an event. And I was excited because almost every... area of my life people were coming from, which is strange and overwhelming, but I'm extrovert, so I was like, yeah. And we had a bonfire, we had improv, we had my favorite friend in the world, Alice, who has a beautiful voice, playing campfire songs, and I did not take a single photo. It was really dark, it was low light, and so toward the end of the night I was like, oh, and I got my, you know, my phone out, and I got one that sort of is like dark twinkly lights, but it's like, it happened. I don't know. It was like one photo to remember it by, and it all happened. I can remember the night crisply. I
one
can remember
ring the to bunting. Roll them all.
Yeah, and that was like all I needed. I don't think I need a 100 photo blog post of that event. I just don't. It's in my heart.
It's in my heart.
Yeah.
And you know what? You can't use them all. I said just the other day, I was like being whiny, and I was like, Jonathan, we do video, and like we don't have any video of Opal that's like, and he goes, yeah, we do. We have tons of videos. I'm like phone videos. We don't have like videos, like professional video cameras. Mm-hmm. And I was like complaining, and then I actually was like, Katie made videos of each of her kids on their first birthday, and they were talking to their kids before they were born, and all this stuff. And Jonathan just looked at me and was like, we have more media of Opal than I have currently at 31 of my entire life.
Right.
Like, we have more individual photos of her than I have collectively over my entire life. Like, she is probably the most well-documented 8-month-old.
Right.
And it's totally true. There's some days I go through and I take, like, 200 pictures if I'm, like, trying to get the right pose or something.
Right.
Or I'm like, she looks cute. Snap, 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 snap.
Yeah.
And then I just send them all to my mother-in-law. And so that made me feel like, okay. Like, I think we have this anxiety of, like, being addicted to just capturing everything that they don't realize, like, hey, when my grandfather was growing up, he got like one picture between the ages of like 1 and like 12.
Right.
And that's it.
Well, KonMari would say if you have a box of photographs.
I don't want to know. KonMari.
It's good. Marie Kondo. The mad life-changing magic of tidying up is the book.
What does she say?
She would say if you have a box of photographs and you're wanting to turn it into an album.
Yeah.
Which she recommends. Mm-hmm. Pick one photo from each day. So if you have 5 from one day.
Oh, like 5 one. From grandpa's birthday, pick one.
Right. So think about that. If you pick, if you take, we have iPhones in our hands all the time. If you take one photo a day, which most of us take 1,000 photos a day.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's an exaggeration. But you know.
1,200.
But probably 12.
Right.
To 100.
Well, some days I take no photos. Other days I literally probably take 200.
True. Depends on where you go. But. If you take one photo a day, that's 365 photos a year. I'm 30.
Mm.
I mean, like, our kids are going to have memories.
Right.
It's going to be fine.
Hordes and hordes of hard drives and memories that they never go through.
Or, you know, they're going to have photos, but will you have memories if you're documenting the event and not participating in it?
Oh.
I don't know.
Also, I take pictures of, like, meaningless stuff to text people.
Yeah.
All the time. Like, you and, like, but then they stay in there. So if I don't ever go back and delete them... It's going to be, like, random pictures of randomness.
Screenshots.
Right. Like, yeah. Screenshots are like a picture of, like, look at this weird pepper I got at the farmer's market. And then there's no reason. Oh, well. I hope that answered your question, Armor Gordon Brown.
Okay. Let's see. This next one is from Katie Heidenbrink. Heidenbrink? Do you know her?
I do. I love her.
Okay, I was going to say. Hi, Katie. Am I saying the name right? Hey, Katie.
She's super cute.
It's the Katie and Shaylee and Katie show. Just for this one question. What are the biggest things you've learned about buying a house? What are things you thought you needed but realized you could go without? My husband and I just started seriously looking, and there are like 50 quote-unquote requirements that we often say we must have, with a laughy face with a little sweat drip. It's either a tear cry or a sweat drip. We'll act like it's a sweat drip for the question. That's a good one. So it's like you have the 50 requirement wish list.
And then the reality of the listings.
And then the reality of the price ranges. And I've heard somewhere, if anyone who's graced the channel HGTV, I'm sure has heard, the 80-20 rule, where if the house is 80% what you want, that's pretty much all you can kind of hope to get out of it. So nothing's 100%. So just kind of having the idea of, like, if you find a house you love, but you're like, oh, but it doesn't have the whatever, it doesn't have the fourth bedroom, or it doesn't have the basement that I wanted, or doesn't have the whatever it is on your list. It's like, yeah, but is it 80% of your list of 50 things? Like, do you feel like it's 80% there, and there's 20% of the things that you would change? Because honestly, unless you're just, like, rolling in money, then this doesn't apply to you. Quit listening. But even if you're building a house, you still have about 80%, I feel like, of what you want.
Right.
Because the money runs out at some point, or you're having to compromise on the finishes that you want because mm-hmm. they're too expensive and you want the size, so then you can't get the hardwoods you want.
Details.
Or yeah. Mm-hmm. So I feel like it's always kind of a compromise. So I think going into it knowing we're not going to get 100% of what we want kind of recalibrates your mind to having a little bit more of an open mind.
Yeah. That's good.
What do you think?
My top priority is natural light.
Mm-hmm. I call just that, like, how the house feels, which is just because of natural light.
Right.
So that's a better way of breaking it down.
But you're talking to an extrovert who works from home in the middle of nowhere, so if I didn't have windows, I'd be so sad.
You need to walk into a house and think, could I stay here all day and not get depressed?
Yeah.
And if the answer is no,
move on to the next move one. On. But you're gonna roll your eyes, Miss Actual Interior Designer over there.
Get ready, everyone. It's going to be the biggest eye roll you've ever
you're
seen.
You're going to hear it. Katie, just get a house with good natural light and paint everything white and then put some plants in there and you'll be ready for a blog.
No, I totally agree. I'm not rolling my eyes.
Just some hardwood floors, white walls, and some freaking fiddle fig trees.
Get a succulent.
And no one's going to notice any of the stuff you think they're
going to
notice.
No one will know if you're in an apartment or not. Only if you've painted the walls. It's a good chance you're not. No, that's totally true. I mean, yeah, I agree. You can really style it well. And there's things like bathrooms. Like, okay, our house, for instance, I'll give you a real life example. When we saw it, we were like, we're going to redo those floors immediately. Like, we have like wood floors, but they're not like in the majority of it. Like, some of it's natural, like real original hardwood from the 50s. And then there's another part that's like manufactured wood that's not real solid wood. And we were like, oh, we didn't even care. Like, we're going to redo that wood immediately. Like, 4 years later, we're not anywhere close to replacing right. the floors. Like, we're fine with it. And I think that part of that, too, is all the stuff that bothers you. You go in with these big grand plans of, like, the red right. marker. Like, we're going to change this, and we're going to change this, and I can never live with this. And then you move in, and you're kind of like, you either get used
everything
to it, or you're
money.
Like, I don't really care anymore. Right. You just kind of get over it when it's yours.
Right.
And it doesn't matter.
I would also say, to take the pressure off, I am always like, this is the last house I'm buying ever. I put this fake
no
pressure on myself.
I'm going to die here.
I'm going to die here. So it has to be exactly what I want. But if you take that pressure off of just, I like this house. This works for now. And maybe I will stay here forever or maybe I won't. But it takes the pressure off of feeling like it's the last house you'll
yeah,
ever
live.
Yeah,
that's a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to do that. From Catherine. Anne Jones. How do you go about forming new and lasting friendships post-college? I just want to live at Drury again with a BFF at arm's reach 24/7.
Oh my gosh. I remember right after graduation, all of our friends moved back to either Kansas City or St. Louis, and we were like left in Springfield with like none of our college friends. And we looked at each other and we were like, how do adults make friends?
Like, wait.
We have to make new friends.
Wait.
How?
I'm confused. Yeah, and Drury is a private college.
Yeah.
In Springfield, yep. By the way. So, that's a good one.
I feel like we should insert our little bridesmaid joke, which is that Shaylee and I had a struggle.
First of all, anyone who was my bridesmaid, I love you and I cherish you. So, don't let this story taint the fact that you were in my wedding.
I had sisters be my bridesmaids because it was too much pressure.
I had one sister.
Yeah.
And his sister was, my sister-in-law's kids were the flower girl and ring bearer.
Yeah.
So there was a moment when Jonathan and I were dating, and we were getting pretty serious, and all of my friends were kind of getting, not all of my friends, I was 21, I was young, but it was at that weird phase between, I got married in college, and so it was like between high school and like graduating from college, so I didn't have like my adult friends yet. But I had, like, college friends, but, like, a lot of my friends went away for college. It was in, like, a floaty phase. So I had some, like, good girlfriends that I hung out with, and I had a few that I was like, I know for sure I'm going to ask them. But I had a lot of friends that were, like, good friends, but not, like, best friends we talk on the phone every day. And I thought, I am going to have some trouble, like, finding enough friends to be in my wedding. And then Jonathan, like, has these, like, bonds with, like, life.
Brotherhood.
Like, brotherhood friends that he, like, talks on the phone with all the time, that he's, like, had forever. So even if there's some that he doesn't talk to all the time, they're, like, friends he's had since childhood growing up. So I had a moment in a car with a couple girls where I decided, I'm going to pursue these girls. And they're going to be my friends. Because when the time comes that I need me some maids. I'm going to accelerate this friendship so they're in a place where. And it wasn't that I needed to trick them into being my bridesmaids. But it was literally like, I feel like if I ask them at the point of our friendship now, they would be like, really?
Me?
Like, I'm in the top six. Like, I'm in the top six of your friends right now. Like, because that's very sad for you.
It's like when someone says
you're my best friend and you're like, really?
I am? I just want to point out to our listeners. This is coming from Shaylee, who's, like, the most charming, gorgeous, approachable, likable person in the world.
I scared everyone away.
No, I'm just saying I hope that somebody feels better, because it's hard.
It was, and then Jonathan was like, oh, no, if I can narrow it to six. I'm like, well, you're gonna have to. He had, like, nine, and I was like, I don't have nine. There were people, I don't know. I mean, I definitely had people I could have asked. And then I think now, and I feel like such a terrible person, like, I think of other people I could have asked, or, like, I should have just, like, had my sister and, like, my cousins, and I don't even know what I was thinking, but I think I thought, like, I have to hang out with somebody every single day.
Right.
For it to be normal for me to ask them, like, to be in my wedding. So I kind of groomed some friends.
I shoot weddings, and all these speeches are, like, when we took our first steps together, kindergarten class, I'm like, what? I don't have that.
Yeah, or I had it, and then in third grade, they were like, peace out.
Yeah.
Or something.
Because they all started drinking, and you didn't.
Probably.
That's what happened to
they
me.
Probably played strip poker, and I was like, uh-uh.
Oh, that's why we lost our friends.
That's why we didn't have any friends.
Two shoes. If only we were just
us and our rules. My maid of honor is abstinence. Laughing so hard.
Oh gosh. Okay, but that doesn't really answer the question, but that does give you some context that it's not like
we don't know. It answers your question.
Will you be our friend?
No. Okay, so we've mastered it, I feel like now we found each other.
Yeah, so all you need is one. All you need is one, and then you have a group.
And we'll get into this more in depth. It'll probably be a topic at some point.
Okay. I wanna say first of all, we started going to a church. After we bought a house, we started going to a different church. And it had, like, kind of, like, we'd see people who were like, I think they're our age.
They look cool.
But how do we get in there?
It's exactly like the boyfriend's girl, like when you're dating, only you turn it into like couple dating.
It's exactly like that.
To where you're like,
it's exactly
they're kind of
like
cool looking.
Yes.
And I'd like to get to know both of them better.
Yes. And we went to that church for a year and like pretty regularly. I don't think we like hardly missed. And a year into it, like one of the meet and greet guys is like, hey, you must be new. And we're like, we've been going here a year. And he was like, if you've been going here a year and I don't know you, that must mean you're not plugged into a life group. Hold on a minute.
Now you're offending me.
And he leaves and I'm like mortified. I'm like, I'm extrovert, outgoing person who's mortified that he's about to bring someone over to meet me. And I was like kind of annoyed and it was kind of, I don't know, pushy in my mind. Well, he brings over this couple who becomes our closest friends at that church and introduces us to this entire group.
It was an arranged marriage.
So it's like, it's kind of like you have to check your pride for a moment and maybe like have the awkward moment, have the pushy guy and be grateful for it. And, and if you're not getting yourself into gear, maybe go to the Welcome Center and say, is there any young couples here that you could introduce me to or whatever? But like just waiting, I'm my pet peeve is like waiting in the corner and being hurt that no one invited you to lunch. Like,
yeah,
no one can read that for you. No one's reading your mind. No one knows that you're new. They're nervous too.
Yeah.
So if you want that to change, you might have to do something about it. And that's church context. But
that works.
It can apply with work. It can apply with most of my friends are based on activities that I'm in. So like if I have a weekly thing that I have to check in with, it's very, very easy to maintain a friendship and build a friendship. I feel like our girls group, now that was arranged by Michelle and Jen, who it's like all of their friends, but we didn't know any of those people. We didn't even know each other when it started.
We did. We just didn't know we did.
Well, barely.
I didn't know we did.
It was like internet knowing.
Right.
And acquaintances. And passing in the night. So.
Passing on us.
I guess what I'm saying is, I'd say the first year of the girls group, it wasn't like a...
We weren't hanging out outside of it.
Intimate knowledge of each other's souls yet. It was kind of like there was some dead air. There was some, I don't know if I want to reveal this part yet, but cut to 3-4 years now. I don't even know.
Yeah.
4 years later.
Everyone's had a baby.
Yeah, everybody's had a baby. Everybody's cried at least once.
Everyone's cried at least once.
I normally cry each time.
Not true.
And so it's just like showing up, even if it's not quite clicking yet. So sign up for the girls group. Keep showing up.
Yeah, or the couples group or whatever, and give it a chance.
Yeah, and the mystery hour, I was so nervous. Like, the first year, I would be like, I want to weigh in, but I don't know. I'm not. Mm-hmm. It wasn't an instant comfort, and now they're some of my closest friends. We have a text thread that goes off every hour of the day, actually. I actually had to silence it. but I'm just saying, you might have to make the effort, have it be awkward, and keep showing up.
Yeah, and I'll add to that. So one thing I would add to that... about forming new and lasting friendships. And I think in the adult world, especially with social media and everything, it's kind of like a big world size or city-sized high school. To where it's
That's
like, there's the friends that you have access to and relationships with, and then sometimes there's the friends that you're like half mutually connected with that you want to be friends with.
Friend crushes.
Which sometimes, that's great. And they're fine to have, but I think that if you're so focused on what you're not getting invited to, or like the friends that are doing something that you like wanted to go to, when you're like not seeing the friends that you have right there, that could be part of it. And I'm not saying that that's obviously what this question is meaning, or that that's something that Catherine, whatever. It's not like, see your friends right there, Catherine. But I think that even me, sometimes it's easy to get caught up in, like, you know, the stuff that's like, oh, there's going to be like all the cool people there or something. But then it's like, but I have like a lot of really great friends that some of them are like, what's an Instagram or like whatever.
Right.
Who like those could be like the most solid, long lasting friendships that you have that are like real and built on something that you have mutually in common. Like you have either something you're involved in that's mutually in common, like you volunteer somewhere together, or you both like photography, or you both have kids that are the same age. Sometimes you have nothing in common except you both have a 4-year-old. So you're like, story time every Tuesday at 9 or whatever. So I think taking time to invest in the relationships that you currently have, mm-hmm. and also invest in others, but don't get caught up on feeling like you're always trying to get to the, like, I don't know, like an unrealistic other group. Yeah. Yeah. Because I think that can be exhausting, and then, like, feelings can be hurt. I just remember in high school, it was, like, such a relieving feeling when I finally was like, I don't care. If right. I get invited to, like, that group that's taking pictures before homecoming,
yeah,
because I'm fine with it, and if I don't get invited to do whatever, guess what? I like hanging out with my mom and dad, too, so we'll just hang out and watch a movie together, and that sounds fun. And then it seems like once you kind of quit caring, it either opens up doors.
They want you.
Right. It's like you're the hard-to-get friend at that point. No. But and sometimes it doesn't open up doors, but it's kind of like, being okay where you are with the people that you have and investing in those and then also reaching out. Oh, I guess it's just a happy median. So yeah. You don't have to, like, find all new friends, I guess.
Yeah.
Does that even make sense?
I like that a lot. I have a short story in my brain that I'm trying to write called The Cool Table. because there's been three different points in my life, and I'll just use it as a metaphor, but it starts in elementary school where there was an actual cool table, and we called it The Cool Table, and I did not sit there, and I wanted to. Yeah. And one day, I got the lead in the play in fifth grade. And after I got the lead in the play, they invited me. They said, you can sit with us. It was straight up Mean Girls.
Who are these people?
Well, I don't know.
You don't have to name them.
They might listen.
I'm sure you were in fifth grade. They invited you to sit at the cool table.
And I got there, and I kind of looked back at, like, my friends I left behind. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of uncomfortable sitting there, and it was kind of...
This isn't as fun as I thought it was sitting over at that table.
I don't want the cool table anymore. And then metaphorically, that's happened two other times. One, I'd say kind of recently, where it's like level unlocked. I was just invited to the cool table and then deciding that the cool table's kind of awkward.
Yeah.
it's kind of saying, I'll go at the, I like the geek out table. I'd rather go sit with the geek out table.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's part of like some people, and for some people, the cool table is like their comfortable normal. But that's like finding out your comfortable normal and not trying to find something that's pushing.
I love that.
Pushing you into something that you're like, wait a minute, I'm not even having fun. Mm-hmm. Like in life, I'm just trying to like, so I think that's the meaningful, lasting relationship part.
Very good. Boom.
Can we call this the cool table, my dining room table, the cool table?
I think it's the cool table.
Cool table.
The thing about the cool table is the people sitting there never call it that.
Aww.
Only the people around it.
You can sit here.
Thanks, Jaylee.
You're welcome.
I can or I can't.
Is the cool table only two people, though?
We are the cool table. We're gonna rename this podcast The Cool Table.
The cool kid. Cool kids don't call themselves cool kids either.
Hit me again, because I think we might...
Got one more?
Trim one of those questions down.
Okay. The next one's from Bella Diva Life. And this one is, what are some of your go-to me time strategies, both big and small, to keep from burning out as moms, wives, etc.? This is the number one question I get from my working mom audience. So I think she is a life coach.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Great question. And I actually have a very, very concise answer to this.
Yeah.
And that is called Tuesday nights. Okay. So I'm a stay at home, work from home mom in the middle of the country. And I am an extrovert who needs friendships and relationships. And I also weirdly have a wide variety of extracurricular activities. So what happened was the TV show I'm a part of, our writer's meeting is on Tuesday nights at 8:30 PM. So my husband gets home around 5 and I leave right then. And so anything I need to do, I can do before the writer's meeting at 8:30. And I can count on that time. And if I need to schedule coffee with a friend, if I need to schedule a Target run or whatever, I already know that I have that time blocked out weekly. I can look forward to it. I can count on it. And there's no misunderstanding. And so when Shaylee and I concepted starting a podcast, we were like, well, when could we possibly even do it? I already knew Tuesday nights, I have these couple of hours or whatever. And we said, let's keep it manageable. Let's do it every other Tuesday.
Yeah.
So I could block in that time. And I think that's, I mean, truly, I think that's probably the only way I could have done it in person. Without like Skyping you during the day, which maybe we'll convert to someday. Probably not though, because we have too much fun. We're the cool table. But I would consider this me time, I really would. Yeah. The podcast, I would consider.
If it feels like work, that's when we don't want to do it
that's
anymore.
That's when we don't want to do it anymore. when I would consider the writing me time as well, because it's something super fulfilling that's exciting and things like that. So if you have a super cool husband, like I do, that lives in town, because I know a lot of women are like, amazing, like their right. husbands are traveling all the time, or and like, they just never ever get a break, but
deployed for 6 months or something.
It's amazing. And you know, I won't speak for him, but he's an introvert who actually works all day in a in a group setting, so I think he kind of likes Tuesdays too. After he puts the kids to bed, he kind of watches his whatever and knows he has the house to himself, and you know, so it's been working for us for like 4 years, and it's amazing how just knowing you can count on one,
you can make it through your week knowing like week. I got my week, my night that I have, like
and he's off. So sweet. He really respects it too. Like if he has to work late at all, he's like, I'm so sorry. I know it's your night, you know. So I usually eat Chipotle and it's amazing. It really is.
Let's see. Other than, I'm trying to think of one opposite of the like normal, like me time, get my nails done or whatever. So I think for me, one thing also as a new mom that I value is just sometimes, which we work from home, so we have a different setup than some people, but Jonathan will sometimes watch Opal between when she wakes up and her first nap.
Nice.
And then I get to do whatever I want, and usually it's sleep. but, or even just like laying in bed or like watching, and it doesn't happen all the time, but that to me is like, I feel like as a mom and a wife maybe, because then it's just that little, like even if it's like an hour and a half, but since she was asleep and then she woke up and then she went back to sleep and all I've had to do is like feed her.
Right.
Then I'm like, I just got like half of a day. Like it's 11 o'clock and I've done nothing but like feed her a couple times. So that's been a big one to me that's been really helpful. And then obviously like time with friends or whatever.
Tell me about your Monday nights, Shaylee.
My Monday nights? My Monday nights? My Zumba nights?
Yes.
Monday nights, I meet up with my mom and sister-in-law and we Zumba, which Opal's getting to the age now where she doesn't sit in her carrier for Zumba. So now Jonathan watches her for the hour while I Zumba. And then I rush back across town, pick up Opal, and I go back over to my mom's house with my sister-in-law, and sometimes my brother and dad. Sorry, Chase. Sorry, Dad. And we watched The Bachelorette.
Oh, I love it.
Which is totally, like, mindless, needless.
Girly fun.
Girly fun. And then the last, like, the season finale, my mom goes, every season finale, I always think, why am I watching this? It's terrible. And I'm like, yeah, his heart's getting ripped out because this is not normal. Like, this is not how love should be. Like, they basically both got married and then they were like, now pick one.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's pretty terrible. But it's just like my mindless Monday night. Like,
I love it.
Fun.
And you can count on it.
Dance it out, bachelor it out.
I love that.
Yeah, that's also, so I get two me time nights.
No, that's
great. What happens when you have one.
You have one and you work with your husband.
That's true. Jonathan and I think, need maybe more away from each other me time.
At night, yeah.
At night, because we're just together all the time.
Yeah. Versus I, you know, I don't see my husband during the day, so we're actually pretty, we guard our nights pretty closely to make sure that's family time.
Your us time together.
Exactly. So especially since I work weekends.
Yeah.
With weddings and whatnot.
Very good. That's a good
very,
one.
Very good.
Thanks, Bella Diva.
Also, join a gym. It's awesome.
Oh.
Zumba during the day and someone else watches your kids. Your husband don't even have to watch them.
Gym. I don't join it. I haven't joined a gym. I also have an elliptical in the basement, though, I've yet to really utilize, so.
A what?
That's my bad. Elliptical.
Oh, elliptical. I thought you said a little tickle.
I have a little tickle in the basement.
is that what you call it, Jonathan? Okay. So
terrible.
That's good. Okay, so those questions were amazing, and now for our segment. Shaylee doesn't know what it is.
Revenge. Do I ever? Do I ever know what it is?
This is called Improv 102.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm a like fish.
This is like second level stuff.
Okay.
Like sophomore year improv. Ready? This is called The Question Game. We have to carry on a scene.
What is The Question Game?
See? You're nailing it.
Am I doing it right?
You can only...
Okay.
Ask each other questions. You have to move the scene forward.
Move
and
the scene
from the internet, the suggestion is pour over coffee.
I love pour over coffee to you. That was all one sentence.
Oh, I see how you're going to play this. Okay, so we'll start the scene now. Ready?
Yeah, am I?
Did you want to order something? Can I help you with anything? Or?
I don't know. Did you decide?
Oh, did you not realize that I work here? Did you see my name tag?
Oh, I'm sorry. Do I know you?
Do you know me?
Did you just pee Vanessa? Your pants?
Do you consider peeing your pants a compliment?
Did you do it?
Do you consider a compliment?
Sometimes. Wait, we did nothing about Pour Over Coffee.
We were in a coffee shop. I was your barista. Mm. Weren't you there with me?
I was too concerned by all the pee. Gosh, for the record, I have 0 years of experience, and Katie likes to make that glaringly obvious.
I don't know. I think your instincts are great.
Mm. Well, my life's just one big improv scene. That your eyelashes look stunning.
Oh my gosh, thanks. That's
just keep looking directly at them.
That's weird that you would even mention them because they're the same as normal.
They're the same as normal? Or they're like more voluptuous and long and perfect?
I don't know.
Did you apply them yourself?
What? They're just my eyelashes. I'm just trying to live a normal life.
I want some.
You have some.
I want those.
Do you know how
peel them off and put them on my face?
I can't, they're permanent adhesive.
Thank you for listening to Shaylee and Katie, the podcast. You can find us on Facebook or on Instagram at Shaylee and Katie. And if you want to be our best friend, you can leave us a review and iTunes. 5, 6, 7, 8. And if you want to be our best friend, you can leave us a review on iTunes.